Good day and welcome to another edition of The Front Page on Morehead State Public Radio. I'm your host, Chuck Moraz. Joining us today is the Mayor of Morehead, Mr. Jim Tom Trent. Mayor Trent, always happy to have you on the program.
Chuck, we appreciate you having us.
All right, let's talk a little bit about what's going on around the city. And one of the things I saw was that there'll be a dog park in the city park area. And if you would, talk about that, please.
One of our top 12 or 14 wants from the community that came back as a result of the recreation board's survey that we sent out back last fall, if you recall. We sent out 11,500 roughly of those surveys, and we got back right around 2,000, give or take, and which is pretty good. So we take that very seriously. We ask people to think of the things they want, things that they think we need, and by cross-referencing that and coming up what we think is a prioritization list, that's one of the top dozen. And it's something that's been bannered about for a few years, and we've had a couple people actually came to recent city council meetings last fall and late summer. And so we've looked at two different locations, and one of the locations we originally looked at was up at Rodburn. And we felt like that was a nice place, but we felt like it something to get more traffic to really open it up to more folks would be over at City Park in part of the wooded area behind the basketball courts, between the basketball courts and the large, they call Hillview Shelter, at the end of the road there. But it's great to partner with folks, and this is really an idea that came up, the final idea came up through the Chamber of Commerce Leadership Program, and Tracy Williams does a great job there, and she has, every year she has a new leadership group, and that group picks a project, and this is a project they want to do. So in working with her, she got with Dave Morris, our recreation director, early on, and they came up with a plan, and that's going to be included in our spring plan, along with some playground equipment and possibly the resurfacing of the basketball courts. So that's all what we're trying to do there. And those are all, check, 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 things that are on the list that are relatively inexpensive. We're talking about a 100 by 100 area with a minimum 5-foot chain link fence, and there'll be a separate area for smaller dogs and the larger area for the big dogs. They've always had some folks locally donate some water fountains for the water type fountains for the dogs and those type of things. So it's wooded. It's got the terrain, and we're excited about it.
This, I would wonder if it couldn't turn into, say, a minor tourism attraction.
Well, we're hoping, and that's not the main goal. The main goal, number one, is to take care of our residents that are here now. But it also, in the sense you just said, it adds to our livability. When people look to relocate here, they say, okay, what do you have? Well, recreation-wise, we've got 48 trails at the lake. We've got three or four in town. We've got, ball fields. We've got parks. We've got green space. Hey, we've got a dog park. And so those are things that just add to the list. And you know, it seems like a small thing, but it all adds up to what we call livability and attractiveness to come to our town.
And when is this planning to open?
We're hoping to have it we're getting bids on fence right now, and our goal is to have it sometime late spring, early summer.
Okay. We're talking about parks. I guess we can talk about recreational issues right there, because there's that desire for more programs and facilities as we move forward. And we talked about the surveys last time you were here, and I know they're working at kind of reviewing with the results of the surveys, and then I guess some public forums are coming up. What's the latest on all this?
Well, what we're doing right now, we meet, we've been meeting once a month up until the first of this year. Now we're going to meet a couple times a month, and I'm an ex officio member along with Doc Blevins, and then we have other members of the board that are both city and county representatives. One each from the fiscal court and from the council. And what the plan is now is to formulate those top 12, 14, and say, okay, this is what we think the priority is based on the data we have, not only from the results of the survey, but also from what the board has researched themselves, kind of make sure everything lines up with what we think and what the community wants, and then they have. And so our plan is to lay that out eventually to the and that'll be soon. Can't tell you exactly when, but we'll lay that out probably soon to the council and fiscal court, and we'll say these are what we think the top priorities are. We think we can do these right here pretty quickly. These are the big ticket items, so to speak, and this is how we're going to maybe propose that we can maybe finance that. And at this point, until that has been brought to them, I really can't get into any more details, but we are at that planning stage because I don't want to talk about any particular properties or anything like that, because as you know, that may have an effect on the value later on. But we are that far. We feel good about it. As a matter of fact, we've been meeting in subcommittees for the last 3 or 4 weeks, and so we've got a good group of folks on there, and they take it very seriously, and they're all on there for the benefit of the community. And I've said this before, and I'll say it again. I have to reiterate, this is not about ball fields. You know, it all started with people talking about different places, the property up at US 60 East we talked about for several times. This is about overall community wellness, dog parks, playgrounds, green spaces, parks, walking trails, biking trails. And, yeah, there could be some fields in there. But the whole thing is trying to do an overall wellness upgrade in facilities for our community.
At these upcoming public forums, when you release details of the plan, is it mainly to show people what you are going to do, or possibly get maybe some additional ideas where you could tweak the plans maybe?
I think it's always, you always want the public to be a part of it, and our goal is to be as transparent as we can. We have to get the backing, obviously, of our local municipalities, because that's going to be a key for it, especially when you get into the larger items, the larger ticket items, as we say. But what you can do, and what we've tried to do as well, is we say, okay, this can kind of fit all in one place, or this, and we want to get at some time the public's feedback on that. We've got what they say they want on the survey. We put together what we think we need along with those wants, and then bring it to the public and get their feedback in. What do you think about this? And you know, do you think this would work? Would you go there? Would you attend this? How would you like to see it done? Where would you like to see it? You know, those are things that we want to get the public's input, because after all, at some point, either through fees, either through you know, admission, either through other ways of raising the money to pay for these facilities, you know, the public's going to we want them to buy in. And one of the things we were very happy about and very encouraged about is we purposely included on those surveys the fact is, you know, how much would you be willing to pay to see these come along? And I believe it was well over 50% said that they would be willing to pay upwards of $50 a year additional to get these. And about 30 to 40% said they would actually pay more than that. So you have to remember that even though it's a city, we think of city recreation, it's community recreation. And about 85% of the folks who replied to that survey were in the county. Ironically, roughly 85 to 90% of the folks who participate in our City League recreation programs are county residents. So that's encouraging.
Yeah, I think the funding nut is the biggest thing you've got to crack here when you talk about this. I mean, we've discussed this in the past. That's always been the issue. It's not that people don't want additional recreational space or additional programs, but you've got to be able to pay for them, and you feel like you can come up with the solutions to kind of overcome that challenge.
I believe so, and you know, one of the things, people who've been here a long time don't really see it, but if you've lived in Ashland, for example, or even Montgomery County, which is a city about our size, or Grayson, or Russell, or some of these other places that are comparable to our size, when you come to our city park recreation office and you sign your child up, let's say you've been from all those towns, and you sign them up for any particular activity we have, our fees are lower than anybody in this area. And we've slowly raised them up. They haven't been raised in several years, and we're very spoiled by that. I mean, the difference in fees in some of these places are unbelievable. We're not going to ever do a huge jump trying to keep up with the Joneses, so to speak. But at the same time, you know, it has to be a combination of some way to get the public to buy in there. Also, do we raise fees a little bit? You know, I mean, you have to have the money to do these things. And you know, the grants out there, someone said, well, just go write you a grant for a swimming pool. Well, those are long gone. You just can't, you know, you may write a grant for – the lawn chairs for the swimming pool, but you just those don't exist. So you have to package together a lot of different things. You have to look at what grants are available. You have to look at ways you can raise it locally. And you have to say, well, you know, let's be realistic, guys. We're going to have to raise our fees a little bit because you're getting a lot for your money. But on the same time, we can't expect people to we don't want to raise fees and not give them something for that. So it's got to be a combination, and hopefully to try to be something that can work with everybody's budget.
Also last night, this is very important, you had the second reading of an ordinance that creates the interlocal agreement with Rowan County regarding downtown Moorhead redevelopment, the TIF district.
Yes. Yeah, that was good because that was the next step in a several-step process. For those who remember, the TIF is the Tax Increment Financing District. And the next step then, once we've got this board, you have to have a board that would quote-unquote be a third-party administrator, so to speak, of that local TIF money. Now, once we have that, second reading with the fiscal court, which will be next week, I believe, then our next step then is to go ahead and continue working with the folks on that board. Then we'll go ahead and get the first and second reading of establishing the district to where it can be open now for business. In other words, so we can go to Frankfurt and say, okay, you know, we can actually recruit people and say, here's what we want to do. Because not only is it there for local money, but the goal is to get it to where you can meet that threshold to get the state money as well, which is $20 million. When you first hear that, everybody says, well, we're not going to get a $20 million project in here. Well, that's not what we're saying. It's a cumulative. You want to get $20 million worth of projects, and it all adds up. So once you get that, you meet the threshold for the state to kick in. So then you would have local and the state. Right now, as an example, if you were to take that district that we've drawn out, you've seen it in the paper and online, different things, and let's just say, for example, that it's 10%, that whatever that taxing district is 10%, and this is a total random number. And then let's say with the new developments that come in, the next time we see what that taxing district, well, now it's 20%. So the 10% difference in the baseline in where it's developing, the new development, that's what you can capture and reinvest. So we want people, there's numbers out there, it's a hard thing to explain. It actually took two sessions to get through Frankfurt. So the bottom line is, I want to just hit home every time I talked about this, is it is not a new tax on anybody in the community, number one. Number two, it's a way to capture increased tax revenue for new development. That's what we got to keep straight.
All right. So then the next move is for the county to go ahead and approve this interlocal board.
Yes.
So you've got the board in place. Yeah. After the board is placed, then you can go ahead and work on the tax incremental financing district itself. So how soon do you think that can be put into place?
Well, it all depends. I think it's going to require two more readings, I believe, in order to get that done. The main thing is there's a statutory process you have to go through. And what we did was we went and took it and outlined it, sent that in, got that approved. Then we had to have the group that's going to handle the money locally. We got that approved, and then we go on from there. And it's my understanding, Tony Pence and Dan Markwell and a couple other folks have worked really hard on this for us, that they can go ahead and start letting people know, hey, now that's an incentive we have here in Moorhead.
Do you think this will be happening by the summer?
I think it'll be happening by the summer. As a matter of fact, I would hope it'll be happening by the end of this fiscal year, which will be in June.
Again, our guest today on Front Page is Moorhead Mayor Jim Tom Trent. I'm Chuck Meraz. We're going to step out here. We'll come back with more right after this.
There are many ways to connect with Moorhead State Public Radio. Log on to WMKY.org for enhanced regional news, on-demand audio and video, breaking news from NPR, and information on your favorite programs. Get links to Facebook and Twitter while you listen to our live broadcast online, or download mobile apps from NPR and take 90.3 FM with you everywhere. Connect with your community and Moorhead State Public Radio. Visit WMKY.org.
And we welcome you back to the Front Page. I'm Chuck Meraz. Moorhead Mayor Jim Tom Trent is our guest today. And, Mr. Mayor, I saw there was also a first reading of an ordinance in regards to a parking issue.
Oh, on the is that on the two-hour parking you're
yes,
talking about?
Yes.
Well, there was part of Main Street that was not in the two-hour parking. Because if you remember, we tried that last fall. We went ahead and implemented two-hour parking, and there was For some reason at the time, it wasn't included. So what we did, we just went ahead and made it all two-hour parking. That way there's no confusion. And again, remember, it's pretty much from 9 to 4. It's pretty much business hours. But that was, for us, it's been pretty successful. We rely on the young lady that goes around and handles the ticketing for us with the police department. And I talked to her all the time. What do you think? She said, I think it's really gone better. I think it's from her interaction with the folks that she deals with every day, they seem to like it better. Our downtown merchants like it better, and I know students like it better. I mean, let's just be honest here. But it's not become a problem where people are sitting in there 3 and 4 hours. I know any time you make a change like that, one of the reasons they did it way back when, the 1 hour, is because they were afraid people would come and park and go to class all day. Well, you know, I'm sure that happens randomly every now and then, but from what she sees, and, you know, she really walks the beat, you know, quote unquote, every day. She sees and becomes familiar with certain people who park certain places and those type of things. And she says it really hasn't become a problem. Matter of fact, it's kind of made it easier for that. And people have been pretty much staying within the rules.
The main thing is you want to make it friendly for business and the consumers of those business downtown, but at the same time you want to remain friendly to the university and the students and the faculty and staff, and sometimes it's a delicate balancing act.
It's a delicate balancing act. We want to be good neighbors. We want to be, we want to work hand-in-hand with the university. They're spending, you know, upwards of $150, $160 million on renovations. We realize that parking is a premium right now on campus. It wasn't our goal to go to 2 hours to alleviate their parking. At the same time, though, with what we're trying to do with our downtown merchants, if that runs over and helps them, that's a plus. So our goal is just try to do what we can. There's no way we could ever replace with our downtown parking what they're doing. But at the same time, this was something that was vetted by merchants. They're the ones who can be affected, you know, positively or negatively. And for the most part, it's been overwhelmingly positive. So right now, knock on wood, it's working well for everybody.
Your city planner, Joe Parson, left at the end of January to take a job with the state. And you've been without one. And I know that there was an issue last night at council where you discussed updating the job classification for the building inspector and the city planner. So was not the language correct when Joe held the job, or what was going
it was,
on there?
It was correct. When Joe came in, Joe was he had his level 1 and level 2 building inspector certification. And while he was here about 6 years ago, it's my understanding he studied and continued to get his continuing education and was able to obtain his level 3. Now, the difference between the two, level 1 and level 2, is pretty much single-family dwellings. Level 3 allows us to be what's called an expanded jurisdiction city. So that means that larger projects above duplexes, what's going on at the hospital, for example, all the way up to that big, it allows us to be able to do it all here locally so we can capture the local permitting fees and those type of things. And plus, it speeds it up for the folks who are doing those. In other communities where you only have a level 1 or level 2, those larger building and structures and larger commercial developments, they have to go through the state. Sometimes that takes a little bit longer, not a whole lot longer, but the good thing about having it here locally is that we can capture the fees involved, and we can be there, I mean, every day if we have to be, and it helps them get their keep their project on track. Let me say this real quick. Joe served the community well. He was here 11 years. He was in part of some big things that happened here in his tenure. We wish him well. He had a better opportunity for him and his family, and he's not going to be easy to replace. So right now where we are, this Friday, which will be at noon on this Friday, is when the actual job posting closes. Our goal is to have interviews by the end of next week and to offer somebody a job, the job by the 1st of March, depending on if they're working for someone or not. And we try to be, you know, as fair as we can to their employer to allow the 2 weeks minimum. We hope to have somebody in the office ready to go by middle of March. The reason we did that language change, Chuck, is because it never was in there before, but now with the fact that a level 1 and level 2 is pretty much needed, we put in there, this was all came from the state, came from the certification qualifications you have to do for the state, is that we said, you know, we want you to work, and if you don't have it and we hire you, it's not required, but we're going to ask you to have it after 1 year, your level 1, your level 2 after 2 years, and your level 3 after 3 years, so we can get back to that expanded jurisdiction. So it's not requirement, but that's going to be preferred when we look for folks. And we don't know right now because we haven't got the applications in, but it's our goal to hopefully get someone who, if they don't have that one and two, can get it very quickly. If they do have it and we hire them, hopefully they can get that number three.
Now, I've heard with Joe gone, there's nobody out there inspecting buildings, and I've heard that possibly some projects are being held up. What's the truth behind that?
There are a few projects, but we have five projects going right now that when Joe left, and we met with the state in anticipation of him leaving. They've taken those existing projects over now. So
that's, they're overseeing the inspection angle.
They're overseeing the inspection angle. New business or new construction right now is we're in the process. We have gone through our third, who we thought we were going to have an independent contractor come in just to do what's called a technical plan review, which is the first step before you go to the Planning Commission. They bless it, goes back, then you get your permit. So we're on earth. As a matter of fact, I've been on the phone every day for 2 weeks trying to get somebody in for that. So right now that's on hold. We don't have a lot of things in the hopper, but we do have a direct line to the state so folks can go to them if we don't have somebody locally at this time. So I don't know if you would say held up. There is that option, and right now with the time of the year it is, they're telling us they're about 2 weeks, 3 weeks maybe turnaround for the state. So it's our goal to get somebody in here to work as interim before we have someone that can come in full time. Now, that person would be an independent contractor. They would work directly with the developer and be able to do all that. So right now it's, those type of positions – are very sought after. They're a position that you have to have, very important. And when we're accustomed to having someone like Joe with his certification, it's a big hole to fill, even if it's for 6 weeks or 2 months. So I assure everybody out there we're working on it. If you have any questions about the process, if you got something you can't wait on, please call our office, 784-8505. Sherry Watson is his assistant. She is still in the office, and she's being able, has all the phone numbers to direct people to where they need to go for any questions in the interim.
All right, and we've got a few minutes left here on the program. I always ask you about this when you come in, the police and fire station issue. I know that that's sort of an ongoing process, too, where you're trying to figure out where you can put this building or buildings
yeah.
depending on how things work out.
We're having a work session at the end of this month. We try to have one every year talking about city council. Of course, it'll be a regular meeting, but it'll be a work session. And we talked about it last night, always getting ideas. Some of the council members will be emailing me this week so we can have that laid out. And we will discuss certain things. What I've done over the last couple of months, I've sat down and I've got a spreadsheet that I've worked on about priorities I want to see us work. Number one is the police station. And I've got what I can share with the council, maybe not with the public at the time, because some of it would require the acquisition of land, which will enable us to go into special session to discuss that. But I have those laid out. After all the research we've done, here's site A, here's site B, here's site C, here's how much this would cost, so that is number one on my list. I mean, we're obviously the TIF and some other things we got going as far as new stuff, that's number one. And then along with 1A is what the Recreation Board is going to try to do with some of the projects they are. So at this point, unless something happens and we decide we can go ahead and do both at the same time, I would say the priority would be the police station, just based on the need, because we do have two fire stations and we've done $40,000-$50,000 renovation on the station two right now. So they both are needed, but priority wise, that's number one.
All right. So as you move forward, talked earlier, you'd like to get the sites identified here at least by the end of the year.
I would like to get a site identified and either and paid for. If something we're going to have to pay for, trade, whatever we do, I would like to get a site that has been secured by us, and hopefully with preliminary plans for the building by the end of the year.
Is there some urgency in all of this, Mayor, because of the fact, as you know, construction costs only go up, land costs only go up, so the longer you wait, the more these projects will cost?
It never goes down. The one thing we are seeing with the state's actions the first week of this session is where they did do away with the prevailing wage, and that can affect a project anywhere from, I've been told, 10% to 30%, depending on what the project is. However, we've been told from the state that that's slowly being adapted, and it's going to take a while. So maybe by the time we do that, we will see that little reduction. That's the only thing I would think that would help us, waiting a little bit, but materials don't go down, and property doesn't go down.
All right, Mr. Mayor.
Appreciate it.
As always.
Thank you.
Mayor Jim Tom Tran of Moorhead, our guest on Front Page. I'm Chuck Mraz, your host of the program. We'll see you next time.